Would you please join me for our reading of Scripture? Today's reading comes from the book of Daniel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Please follow along in your own Bible or with the scriptures on the screen. Again, that is Daniel, chapter 9, verses 1 through 5. Hear the word of the Lord. In the first year of Darius, son of Xerxes, a Mede by descent, who was made ruler over the Babylonian kingdom, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord, given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps his covenant of love with those who love him and keep his commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
What do you do when you face a situation and you don't know what to do? When your obstacles seem to keep mounting and your future looks uncertain? When everything that you have or have worked for is being threatened? When you've tried everything and nothing comes of it? When the obstacles that we face cause us fear, stress, and anxiety? When you're giving your best at work and still you are not getting the results you were hoping for? When you and your spouse are frequently arguing and it's a stalemate? When your kids are rebelling and refuse to listen? When an unhealthy habit keeps getting the best of you? When you're trying to save because finances are scarce, but the expenses keep coming? When your health keeps deteriorating? When the internal voices of failure and defeat keep reminding you of why you will never be good enough and why you will never make it? When your pride and anger keeps dictating your mood and response. It is where you have hit a wall and your ability has run out, your reasoning has run out, your resources have run out, your wisdom has run out, your strength has run out. And whenever we face situations like this, we can either keep trying harder or thinking smarter, hoping that things will change. Or we can come to the end of ourselves and realize that we need to seek God for help in order to have a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough when we have done all that we can do, but yet everything in the natural is at a standstill. And so we are seeking God to supernaturally intervene, to supernaturally step in and do something with the circumstance that has been present for a long time. We seek breakthrough by seeking God in prayer for the impossible. Because God is known for the impossible, and he's known for leveling obstacles. And though obstacles frustrate us, they're actually there to remind us that he is God and that we are not. Obstacles remind us that we are limited, but God is unlimited. That we are finite, but God is infinite. That we are limited with the natural, but God is supernatural. Obstacles invite us to leave our pride of self-reliance and move towards humility and God-reliance. Breakthroughs happen when we humble ourselves enough to seek the God who makes breakthroughs possible. Because our pride says, I can figure this out myself. But humility says, God, I'm seeking you in prayer because I don't know what else to do. So what situation do you need a breakthrough with? You know, we're in a sermon series called Reliance, seeking God like never before as we learn to go from self-reliance to God-reliance through 40 days of prayer. And many of the prayer principles in this series have been adapted from Pastor Rick Warren's teaching on the 40 days of prayer. And during this series, we've been seeking God for who he is, for the obstacles that we face, and for him to move in, through, and around us. And our hope is that as a result, you are able to pray with more confidence and with greater faith than before because of God's power in your life. And today, I want to talk about what it looks like to seek God in prayer for a breakthrough. In fact, the man named Daniel, who we read about in the Old Testament of the Bible, prayed a breakthrough prayer because of the situation that he was in. We're going to look at and use this prayer as it shows us the steps that we can take to pray a breakthrough prayer in our own lives. But first, let me give you a background as to why Daniel needed to do this. In around 605 BC, when Daniel was a teenager, the nation of Babylon invaded his home country of Judah, whose capital was Jerusalem. And what led to this invasion was because the people of Judah refused to listen to what God wanted them to do. They frequently broke and rebelled against his laws. They worshiped idols, and they lived like all the surrounding nations around them. Despite warnings to turn from their ways and to come back to the ways of God, the people of Judah didn't listen. And so God did what anyone else would have done. If the people of Judah don't want to listen, then I will take a step back and allow them to make their own decisions and face the consequences of their sin. And as a result, the Babylonians invaded Judah and deported Daniel, along with thousands of his countrymen, back to Babylon in order to serve under an egocentric king. But through Daniel's faithful service to the king and with his ability to interpret dreams, Daniel rose through the ranks, earning him a valued place in the royal court of Babylon. But Daniel and his people remained in captivity, and they longed to one day return home. But there was no end in sight. After almost 70 years, Daniel and his people needed a breakthrough so that they could be freed from captivity and return back to their land. And so Daniel prays and prays and he prays to God, and he prays and he asks God to intervene. In fact, this breakthrough prayer that he prays was something he prayed frequently throughout his years in captivity. And in this prayer, Daniel gives us 6 steps that we too can practice on our own in order to seek God for breakthrough as he supernaturally intervenes in whatever situation we find ourselves in today. The first step is listening to God. It is allowing God to speak to me first before I speak to him. Daniel said, "In the first year of his," meaning Darius, son of Xerxes, "reign, I, Daniel, understood from the scriptures, according to the word of the Lord given to Jeremiah the prophet, that the desolation of Jerusalem would last 70 years. We talked last week that if you want to hear from God, then reading scriptures is one of the avenues that we can use to hear from God. But ancient Jews would actually not just read or listen to scripture, but they would actually take time to study and memorize it. And the more that we read and study scripture for ourselves, the more we give God the opportunity to speak into our lives. And in some translations, it says that Daniel understood what God was saying because he studied what God said. That is why if you want to hear from God, then that means that we must daily read and study scripture for ourselves. That way, in any situation that we face, we can know what God says and now live in ways that respond to what he says. Jesus even said, "I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing." So it's choosing to daily be in him and allowing him to be in us. And so when we engage with scripture, it allows us to be in God because we're hearing what God has to say. This gives us correction, encouragement, direction, and perspective so that we can learn to live like God. So it is reading and studying what God has to say. But how do we get God in us? Well, it's memorizing what God says, because now everywhere that you go, God's word is in you. The psalmist confirmed this when he said, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. By memorizing God's very words, it directs us and shapes us. I mean, just imagine. Imagine facing a situation or having to make a decision, and you can just easily recall right there what God says, because you know what God says. When I'm in a conversation with someone and I know that they are angry and my initial response is to be angry back, I remember what God says, that a gentle answer turns away wrath. When I'm worried about my future, I can recall what God says. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. And here Daniel made time to listen to God by studying what God said. So before you say anything to God, let God say something to you through his scriptures. The second step of a breakthrough prayer is seeking God. It is turning your full attention to God. Daniel continues, so I turned to the Lord God. In other translations, it says that Daniel turned his face to the Lord, meaning to give the Lord his full attention. He gave his full attention to the Master who is above all things and all circumstances. And seeking God means that we make God our priority by making time to know him and be with him. It is loving God with our schedule and thinking about him throughout our schedule. It is where everything that we do, we seek God about it. God himself says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. God is very clear that when we seek him, we will find him and he will reveal himself to us. In fact, God says that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Being earnest is showing intense and sincere looking, not stopping until you get what you're looking for, which means that when we earnestly seek God in our relationships, we will experience his blessings and rewards. When we earnestly seek him in our work, we will experience his blessings and rewards. If we earnestly seek him with our finances, we will experience his blessings and rewards. But the opposite is also true. Because if we don't seek God, then we're really on our own, as we now put ourselves in positions where it's hard for God to bless the things that we're doing. When we seek what we want or our will over what God wants and what he wills, God will back away like he did with the prideful and unrepentant people of Judah. And we will end up paying the price of not taking time to seek the one who cares and guides. We will face the consequences of our decisions. In fact, we would actually save ourselves from a lot of heartache and a lot of pain if we just sought God daily. The third step of a breakthrough prayer is expressing to God. It is letting God know my desires with honest and transparent emotions. Daniel said, so I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition. Daniel was so broken with what happened to his land and his people that he expressed his emotions of how he was feeling to God. He was so grieved that he pleaded and begged God to do something. It's that desperate posture in prayer where you bare your soul and you cling on to God like nothing else matters. It doesn't matter how you look, because you're at the end of your rope. And God has to now step in. He now has to intervene. And for many people, it's hard to do this because we're still so self-reliant. We're too prideful to beg. And we can often depend on or seek other means to make something happen. But here, Daniel is inviting us to surrender to God and to let God know why we need him to intervene. To let him know how sad we are, how worried we are, how angry we are, how desperate we are for answers and for something to happen. See, God looks at our heart. And when we can be honest and transparent to express all that is in our heart to God, We are letting him know that what we are saying is important to us. It is praying, God, I need you. And I really don't know what to do without you. This situation is totally out of my control. I'm sad, I'm frustrated, I'm worried. Sometimes I'm even mad. I'm mad at the situation, I'm mad at other people. I'm even mad at you, God. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my pride. I'm sorry for my pride that blinds me from you and the ways that you have for me. God, I need you. I'm asking, I'm begging you, please help me. I surrender all to you, my will, my life, my relationships, my decisions, my everything, my all. God, I want and I need you to take this lead. I need you to take this lead. God, help me. See, God knows our hearts. And he knows if we're just checking boxes to seem righteous, or if we're really serious about him. And we will only pray like this when we're desperate. And so if you need a breakthrough with whatever you are facing, then let God know how desperate you are. As you cry to God, as you plead with God, and you let God know how you feel so that he can do something about it. If we can't see God this way, then we are really telling God that what's on our mind isn't important and that we can still handle the situation ourselves. The next step in a breakthrough prayer is demonstrate in action. It is letting God know how important this situation is to us and that we are serious about seeking him for help. See, if we really want a breakthrough, God is going to see how far we are willing to trust him for that breakthrough. And we can see what Daniel did to demonstrate his seriousness. Daniel said, "So I turned to the Lord God and pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting and in sackcloth and ashes." So here we learn that Daniel fasted wearing sackcloth and ashes, which were used in Old Testament times as a symbol of mourning and repentance. Sackcloth was a coarse material, usually made out of goat's hair, which was very, very uncomfortable to wear. And a modern day example of sackcloth is burlap. Then the person would sit in and pour ashes over their heads, signifying that they're nothing. The uncomfortableness of sackcloth on their skin and ashes pouring on their heads were used in humility as an outward sign of one's inward grieving condition and repentance that things are not right and that God, we need you to make things right. We need you to intervene. It was not the act of putting on sackcloth and ashes that moved God to intervene, but the humility that said, God, I'm serious. I'm serious in seeking you, and I'm doing whatever it takes to show you that I need help. And we also learned that in addition to this, Daniel fasted. A fast is where people abstain from food for a certain period of time, and it is done in conjunction with prayer for a breakthrough. Fasting humbles us because it increases our dependence upon God while giving us more time and attention to prayer. We read all throughout scripture that when people fasted along with prayer, it created a posture of need and dependence on God in the face of their obstacles. Even Jesus himself said that things in the spiritual realm would be changed when we fast in addition to prayer. In trying to remove a demon from a demon-possessed person, Jesus was specific to say, "But this kind of demon won't leave unless you have prayed and gone without food." And fasting is something that we can practice even today. See, when we choose to fast and abstain from physical gratification with the proper motivation, we are actually telling God that we're willing to deny ourselves so that we can seek him to move and have breakthrough in our situation. Fasting takes our prayers to a deeper level because we're telling God that he is the one that we really need as we cling on to him for comfort, for answers, and for direction. So how can we fast in addition to our prayer for a breakthrough? Although fasting in scripture is usually fasting from food, some people are unable to fast from food due to medical or health reasons. If you are unable to fast from food, then you can choose to fast from something else in order to draw closer to God. Fasting, especially from food, should be limited to a set time. And know that it is important to drink water and stay hydrated during your fast. The amount of time that the fast goes on for is really up to you. Many people like to fast until they get an answer from God. However, that is challenging to do. If you have not fasted before, then it is starting by fasting maybe just a meal as you work your way up to fasting for the whole day or even multiple days. The purpose of a biblical fast is not as a dieting method to lose weight, nor is it meant to punish yourself, but rather it is to gain deeper fellowship with God. And it's not just going without a meal or food thinking that you would just suddenly be closer to God, but instead, the time that you would have gone or used towards cooking or eating can now be redeemed and used for prayer as you pray to God for whatever you need a breakthrough for. And throughout the day, every time your stomach growls with hunger, it is an alarm clock. It is a reminder of your need for God as you draw close to Him in prayer for a breakthrough. Remember, fasting is not a way to get God to do what we want, nor is it a way to appear more spiritual than other people. Fasting is to be done in a spirit of humility and with a joyful attitude as it becomes an opportunity to seek God for your breakthrough. And even if God doesn't change your circumstance, He will change you and your perspective of the circumstance through your prayer and your fasting. And so knowing this, are you willing to pray and fast for your breakthrough during this upcoming week? Then Daniel takes the next step, which is to show praise and gratitude. It is thanking God for His love and promises. Daniel said, "I prayed to the Lord my God and confessed, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps His covenant of love with those who love Him and keep His commandments." Here Daniel praises God and shows his gratitude for how awesome God is. He says, God is great and awesome, and then continues on saying, Lord, You are righteous, even though we have sinned. The Lord, our God, is merciful and forgiving, even though we have rebelled against Him and not followed His commands. When we talked a few weeks ago about one way we can pray and thank God, which is by going through the alphabet, as we name God's attributes. God, You are amazing. God, You are bigger than all my fears. God, You are caring, etc., etc. Go through the alphabet. And showing God our gratitude allows us to remember how He has provided for us before and how He's going to do it again. It helps us to magnify God in our circumstances as we focus on the One who knows it all and who is in control. And so we thank God for His love for us and for His promises to fulfill His best in our lives. Then lastly, Daniel takes a sixth step, which is to humbly confess, is letting God know how we have fallen short of His best. Daniel confesses, we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and have rebelled. We have turned away from Your commands and laws. We have not listened. We are covered with shame because of our unfaithfulness to You. We have not obeyed the Lord our God or kept the laws He gave us. All Israel has transgressed Your laws and turned away, refusing to obey You. In this case, the people of Judah had rebelled against God and didn't want to listen to Him. And so here Daniel was confessing the sins on behalf of what his people did, acknowledging that they were wrong to go against God's ways. He admits that they rebelled against everything good that God wanted for them as they came up with their own rules and decided what was right and wrong, leading them to the mess that they're in. See, confession removes the sin wedge between us and God and us and others, allowing us to have restored fellowship and God's power to now be available in our lives. Confession is choosing to spiritually clean our house so that there are no walls, there are no secrets between us and God. Confession says, God, I'm humbly admitting my sins so that you can forgive me of my sins and my shame. I want your will in, through, and around me, and I'm asking you to remove anything that could prevent that. Daniel continues in his prayer. Now, our God, hear the prayers and petitions of your servant. For your sake, Lord, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear. Open your eyes and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. We do not make requests of you because we are righteous, but because of your great mercy. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear and act. See, Daniel was crying out to God as he begged for mercy because he knew that his people didn't deserve mercy or breakthrough for what they had done. He was admitting their spiritual adultery to God and made it known that God had no reason to help them because they were the ones that caused their own predicament. Daniel was seeking a breakthrough because Judah had sinned. But know that not all of the circumstances that we find ourselves in are a direct result of us sinning. For some, you may find yourself in a circumstance through no fault of your own. For example, an illness or infertility or being abused or a decision that someone made that is now affecting you where you are now facing the repercussions of that. All situations that are not caused by something you did, but rather as a result of us living in a broken world. However, we can still use this part of confession in our prayer for breakthrough to confess and acknowledge the sins of other people and even the brokenness of our world. We can also use this time to ask God to reveal in us any ways that we may have fallen short of what He would have wanted for us, whether it pertains to our circumstance or not. Either way, we are seeking, and when we are seeking breakthrough, confession now becomes, and it helps us to now draw closer to God as we ask Him to clear out any sort of wedge between us and Him, or even us and others. And that is exactly what Daniel did. And as he was confessing, we read that while I, meaning Daniel, was still in prayer, Gabriel, the angel, instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you begin to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. See, it was the frequency of making time to listen to God, to seek God, to express emotions to God, to fast, to give thanks, and to confess that God moved and Daniel got the answer that he needed. God responded through the angel Gabriel. A period of 70 sets of seven has been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish their rebellion, to put an end to their sin, to atone for their guilt, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to confirm the prophetic vision, and to anoint the most holy place. Now listen and understand. Seven sets of seven plus 62 sets of seven will pass from the time the command is given to rebuild Jerusalem until a ruler, the anointed one, comes. God made a remarkable announcement through the angel Gabriel to Daniel, saying that not only would Daniel and his people be released from captivity to return to Jerusalem after a 70-year period, but God was going to do something above and beyond what Daniel could think or imagine. The prophecy was given that after this time of about 490 years, an anointed one would come to finish transgressions, to put an end to sins, to cover wickedness and create a way of forgiveness and reconciliation between God and humans. This anointed one would bring in an everlasting righteousness to earth and would fulfill all the promises of God. Gabriel was answering Daniel's prayer by saying that God was going to send a Messiah, who we know today to be Jesus, who would come to establish an entirely new order on earth with an end to man's rebellion against God and all evil. What he would do on the cross would end the guilt of sin and put an end to sin itself. He would bring justice, and he would ultimately rule and reign in the hearts of humans. See, Daniel frequently sought God for breakthrough about this specific predicament, and God answered that his breakthrough would come, and it would come in a way that no one could have ever thought or imagined. That ultimately, not only would they be freed from captivity from Babylon, but they and all humans would be freed from the captivity of sin that would have kept them away from God and eternal life. I don't know where you need a breakthrough today. Maybe it's your pride or your bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness or freedom from your past. Maybe it's your health, your finances, an addiction, a relationship, or maybe it's something else. But if we pray as Daniel prayed, God will meet us where we are at in his timing and in his way as he draws us closer to him. Remember, breakthroughs happen when we humble ourselves enough to seek the God who makes breakthroughs possible. You know, we all can remember the craziness of the pandemic when everything shut down and people were isolated in their homes and church went online. Well, as the vaccine started to be offered and as restrictions for gathering physically started to come down, there was still so much fear in the air for people to gather together. And we knew that God was leading us to start taking steps to gather physically again safely for church, but we didn't have a space to meet because the school that we usually rented from was not offering rentals at the time. And you've heard me tell the story of how hard it initially was to rent the school when we first came to Malden. And that was before the pandemic. And so we couldn't imagine having to find a place again, especially when there were no viable options before. Since we were still in a pandemic, other places were not renting. And so how were we going to gather physically if there wasn't a big enough space to meet? Every place we tried to seek in order to rent, we either got a no or we got no response. And it brought so much anxiety in me. But in my prayer time, I sought God for a breakthrough because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, we had tried everything. I prayed to God that we would get to school, and then I even fasted. And for someone who loves food, fasting was a challenge for me. But this answer to my prayer was more important than any food or comfort at that moment. And my prayer was, God, you called us to Malden to reach people, and so give us the school so that we can reach people. And we met with our dream team in faith as we planned for the fall of 2021, believing that we would gather in the school again. We planned our outreach initiatives, believing that we would be an even greater presence in the city again. And we prayed to have access to the school in August so that we could launch physically in September. And our dream team prayed, and we encouraged them to fast as well. And every day we prayed that the school would be ours, and we would even walk around the school like the Israelites walked around the walls of Jericho, praying for breakthrough, that the walls of resistance would fall and that we would have an in. We prayed, we fasted, we pleaded, and we walked. We prayed, we fasted, we pleaded, and we walked. We prayed, we fasted, we pleaded, and we walked. And we did it again and again, but every day that went by, there was no answer. And every day that went by brought us closer to August with no plan B and no alternative place to go to. For weeks, we did this as we prayed, fasted, pleaded, walked. And then one day in August, I got an email from the lady in charge of rentals for the schools, and she said, Edwin, you're in. Get me the rental dates that you need. We sought God, and he gave us an answer. And that's just one story of breakthrough. And so for whatever it is that you need a breakthrough for, are you willing to listen to God, to seek him, to express your desires and emotions to him? Are you willing to demonstrate in action how important this is by fasting? Are you willing to show praise and gratitude and even humbly confess how you may have fallen short of God's best? Remember, breakthroughs happen when we humble ourselves enough to seek the God who makes breakthroughs possible. Let me pray for us. God, I pray for anyone who is here today that needs a breakthrough in their life. Help them to go through these steps on their own as they experience you in a much deeper way, as you move above and beyond what they could ask, think, or imagine. God, you are God, and you are the God of the impossible. And so, God, we trust you with all the outcomes of whatever we are facing. And as we continue in prayer, maybe you're hearing all this and you realize that you don't have a relationship with God and that you want one. You want to experience his love and hope. You want to experience his mercy and forgiveness for your sins. Well, know that God loves you so much that he came to earth as Jesus in order to forgive you and me for our sins and to create an avenue so that we can have a real relationship with him now and for all of eternity. Jesus lived a perfect life, and then he chose to die for your sins. He chose to die for my sins so that we can have forgiveness and new life in him. And not only did he die, but on the third day, Jesus rose from the dead, proving to the world that he wasn't just a man, but that he's the God who saves. This is the prophecy. This is the anointed one, Jesus, who has come so that we can have life. And if that is what you want, then I want to invite you right now to ask Jesus to come into your life, to save you from your sins, and to transform you into the person that you were meant to be. If that is your desire, then will you pray with me right now, saying, Heavenly Father, forgive me for all of my sins. Save me and make me new. Fill me with your Holy Spirit so that I can follow you for the rest of my life. Help transform me into the person that you meant for me to be. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. If you prayed to ask Jesus to come into your life, then that means that you now have a relationship with the God of the universe and that you're part of his family. Please email us at info@communitycitychurch.org to let us know of your decision. And we would love to get to know you better and give you some resources to help you to grow in a relationship with God. Now go in peace to love and to serve the Lord.